science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to revisit in a little bit more detail the main themes of Indian and Eastern philosophy that we began last week, so I can set the ground then for detailed discussions on some of the main discourses that you'll find within Eastern and Indian philosophy and how really it differs from Western philosophy and its basis of the discourses that we have on big questions like the meaning of life and reality and so on. So if we go deeper into the theological foundations then of Eastern traditions, we need to really take a look at the theological aspects, especially in Hinduism, which is rooted in ancient Vedic texts. Hinduism is inherently theological. It's got a belief in Brahman as the supreme, formless, and eternal reality that unites the universe. And this ultimate power is manifest in various deities, each embodying different attributes of the divine. So Vishnu, the preserver, Shiva, of course, the destroyer, and Devi, the goddess representing feminine aspects of divinity. They're all central figures in Hindu worship. And engaging with these deities is done really through elaborate rituals and myths, and you have a rich tapestry of stories that convey the ethical and metaphysical lessons that we, as part of the divine plan, need to actually understand to the best of our abilities. And I'll explain what I mean about that later. The philosophical aspects of that means that the schools like Vedanta delve into the nature of reality, the Brahman, and the self, the Atman, by exploring the pursuit of moksha, which is the liberation from the cycle of rebirth, karma, the law of cause and effect, as we said last week, and dharma, one's duty, which is really critical in Hinduistic philosophy. These are foundational to guiding ethical living and spiritual growth. Now, Buddhism, the theological aspects of Buddhism, are often seen as non-theistic. That is, the theological elements exist, especially in Mahayana Buddhism, which venerates Bodhisattvas. I may be pronouncing some of these names wrong. Please forgive me. It's as a Westerner trying to pronounce some of these gods and deities' names and particular themes, it's a little bit tricky sometimes, but I'll do my best. And as I say, I'm going to be learning as I go along. Now, these enlightened beings commit to helping others achieve enlightenment and celestial Buddhas. And these figures play a role similar to deities, providing spiritual guidance and inspiration. And the belief in samsara, the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth, and karma once again, all this influences that spiritual path. The philosophical aspects emphasize the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path as a pragmatic approach to end suffering. Now, I'm going to do an episode discussing what the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path are all about, but right now I just want to get across this concept that it is key to what Buddhist philosophical tracts focus on. It focuses on ethical living, mindfulness, and meditation as key practices, and concepts like anatta, the non-self, and sunyata, emptiness, challenge the idea of that permanent self, encouraging that deeper understanding of impermanence and interdependency, which is really important within most Eastern and Indian philosophies, this idea that everything is interconnected and you can't separate one from the other. Taoism, the theological aspects of that, have it really at the heart this ultimate ineffable principle that underlies all things. It is perceived as an eternal force or path that guides the cosmos and human experience, and Taoism therefore reveres various deities and immortals within its pantheon, and it symbolizes an harmonious order, therefore, within the universe. The philosophical aspects of that means that Taoism encourages alignment with the Tao through principles like Wu Wei, non-action, and advocates a natural flow rather than forceful action. Ethical living is achieved, therefore, by living in simplicity, humility, and harmony with nature, emphasizing spontaneity and openness to life's changes. Confucianism has at its theological core a more social ethical philosophy than a religion, really. It contains religious elements, obviously by emphasizing the mandate of heaven and a moral order that dictates the legitimacy of rulers, and reverence for ancestors and heaven, or Tian, are integral, performed through rituals that strengthen social bonds and moral obligations. And the philosophical aspects of that means that it focuses really on virtues like Ren, or benevolence, and Li, which is propriety, to achieve social harmony and moral development. Confucius highlighted the importance of righteous conduct and personal cultivation in fulfilling roles within society. And even through just that description there, I think you can see that theology is definitely entwined between these different strands of Eastern and Indian philosophies. And it's interesting because I think there's a snobbery in the West that kind of says, well, we separated theology from our philosophy and therefore we're superior. What's interesting is Indian and Eastern philosophers look at Western philosophy and they say, actually, you're missing the point. The whole point of our philosophical inquiry is to try and understand how everything is holistic and interconnected, and you can't separate faith and deity from belief and intellectual pursuit, because to deny one means you get an incomplete picture in that particular pursuit. Now, what's interesting is that many of these Eastern Indian philosophies also say you can never achieve ultimate truth because it's always just out of reach. But it's the pursuit that becomes the important aspect of growth and understanding, even though you will never reach ultimate understanding of the meaning of life, universe, and everything, to put it into a phrase. So looking at it from that point of view, then, you've got the integration with theological context, and you've got collective and ritualistic practices that are integrated within communal rituals such as Hindu pujas, Buddhist meditation and chanting, Taoist ceremonies, and Confucian rites, all reinforcing the individual's connection to the divine and society. And it's got that holistic, as I've said, alluded to, that holistic worldview. In contrast to the compartmentalized approach of Western traditions, Eastern philosophies see life as an integrated whole where theology, ethics, and daily living all intertwine, fostering balance, harmony, and spiritual fulfillment, and you can't have one without the other. So by understanding these theological foundations, we really start to appreciate, I think, how Eastern philosophies offer holistic worldviews where theology does seamlessly integrate with ethical and metaphysical teachings. And that, therefore, impacts upon personal growth, which is always important to these philosophies, and makes you want to strive towards ethical leadership and societal harmony. So in summary, then, Eastern and Western and Indian philosophies, they offer distinct methodologies and priorities. Both have profoundly contributed, I think, to our understanding of reality and ethics, in particular on the Eastern and Indian side. And that quest for knowledge is actually central to belief in Eastern and Indian philosophies, because it's that striving that is the journey, in other words, that is the really important part of those philosophical inquiries. Because even though you're saying that we may never or will never understand, it's always ineffable. In other words, you cannot really get a firm grip on the ultimate reality on the ultimate question or the ultimate answer. Whereas Western philosophy strives to answer ultimate questions. It has a different basis for starting out on those tracks. Not all the time. I'm simplifying, obviously, just to make the distinction clear. But whereas Western philosophy tends to go down a path of secular exploration of the ultimate nature of reality, Indian and Eastern philosophies tend to go down a path that says the actual journey of understanding little bits here and there, but pushing always onwards to see what's over the next rise, is as important as getting an ultimate answer. And I think that, in a nutshell, is really what we're trying to get at here. Now, next week, I haven't decided yet whether it's going to be the second part of the Unexplained Mysteries series that we're doing within ThinkWorks with the Professor Steve Law himself, or whether I'm going to continue straight into the Indian and Eastern philosophies. I may well do the latter, I think. I may continue on with this series and get ready to start with the next episode of the Unexplained Mysteries when I finish this series. There should be about another two or three episodes, I think, within this, as we look at important tracks within Indian and Eastern philosophy. And we'll compare them, I think, with the, if there is a version in Western philosophy, and we'll compare and contrast of those different pursuits. So come and join me for that. As always, there is a forum post that you can comment on for each of these episodes. If you go to darreninform.com/ThinkWorks forum, and you'll see there's a post then for this episode. Just go in there and comment on what other key questions you would like me to explore within this series of episodes on Indian and Eastern philosophy, and I'll see what I can do. Or if there's any thoughts that you have on key differences between the different types of philosophy that we know that are out there, I'll be interested to know what your opinions are. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you all very soon.
If you'd like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.